What's going on, guys?
What up?
What up?
What is up? Besides the win column and the Boston Celtics,
we got a tick up. You got everything you wanted. You got a Hermann Gomez sighting. This thing.
Did we hear if there's a tribute? Did we get the tribute?
Hermann Gomez. It was a tribute when they called a timeout between the with about 4 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and they brought in Hermann.
The whole video tribute was just our show just talking about how somebody thought his name was Hermann Gomez.
The video tribute was two baskets. That was the his highlight reel.
The tribute was him climbing through the CLNS bracket, slowly getting to the Giant Championship. Anyways, another win. This one, listen, I'm first to say I criticize a lot of these wins for the teams they play against. This one counts. This one counts. You spanked them.
Yeah.
You bent them over, pulled their pants down, spanked them. Is what you did.
You did all of it.
You did. Can you do that anymore? I don't know, but they did it.
I don't know. Beep. The show has been taken off the air.
I'm not condoning that type of thing, but they did it, and everyone was there to watch it happen. So, big win, good win, a blowout from start to finish. I mean, this was never a game.
Never.
Hand up. I was a few minutes late to this game, and I felt like it was over when I turned it on. I was kind of bummed out. I'm not bummed out overall. I'm just kind of, I missed any point where it was close.
This is legit, like, pinch yourself sort of stuff, you know, because, like, you and I are kind of in that boat where we've been waiting for them to turn back into a pumpkin. Because, again, like we were kind of, we said, yep, we're joking about it, but we're serious. Like, they hurt us, you know, we've got a little.
I've been hurt. I've been burned.
We've been burned. You're talking about the Celtics?
Okay. Yeah.
The Celtics.
Okay. The Celtics. Yeah. I've still been burned.
Yeah, we saw it, and we were like, you know, so you just keep waiting. They're like, they're going to turn into those guys, right? Or they're going to come back down to earth, right? Or something's going to happen. It's going to be bad, you know, and it's not happening. And then on top of that, it's what you just said is we have to be realistic. They're playing teams, but those teams are down guys, soft schedule, blah, 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 but they're still killing them. But then this last week, and again, this last week is really where it's kind of, because they've been ridiculously dominant, but this last week with both the Denver and this game, this just looks like JV. You don't see this happen. Wire to wire wins over really good teams without them putting up a fight at all. And not because those teams were hurt or on the second of back-to-backs or something. The Celtics just strangled them. They just literally choked the life out of them. They didn't want to play anymore. Like, those teams were done by half to Utah's shoulders were slumped. They were like, this sucks. I hate playing these guys. They were done. This was unbelievably impressive dominant.
They wanted to bury their heads in like the sand and just not come out for the second half
at all. And like, there was one like mini run where it got to like 18, and it was like, and then they just put bing bing boom, done. And it was incredible. Bobby's at the game, Sherrod's there as well. We might be joined by him later. Bobby, let's go. Peyton Pritchard hour, go.
Wow. 17 of 24 run from Peyton Pritchard from three. That's the kind of shooter he is.
We're leading with it.
That's the kind of shooter he is? 17 of 24? Okay.
This guy is shown to be an NBA marksman. It looks like it's going to be here to stay.
Would you say JJ Redick-like?
I mean, 40% for your career going on 2 years now. That's pretty good. But I don't want to start with Pritchard. I want to start with the intimidation factor of this team that's starting to set in, and you alluded to it there, John. Some really punch you in the face and you're not getting up moments in this game. Rob sending two shots flying in a row there, Rob, in the third quarter. But that Tice block on Jordan Clarkson was really the moment where Utah just gave up. Whiteside and Clarkson didn't get back on defense, and they, like you said, they made a few mini runs from there, but on that play in particular, it felt like the Jazz were just going to stop playing. They didn't, but for a moment, that's what it looked like. And
kind of did.
I like the fact that these teams are still pushing them a little bit, because you see in this game, not only was the defense dominant through that second quarter, but the assist rate and the consistency.
At the half,
yeah, the consistency with which this team is just creating superb shots. 37 assists.
37 assists.
This was just an absolute clinic on both ends for the Celtics here against a team that's been top five in offense, top five in defense all year. I'm going to go talk to Ime, though, quick, and I'll be back with
you. Talk to Ime. Jimmy and I are going to keep talking about how we've been believers since the get-go.
You joined the championship train?
We'll tell you all about it when you get back.
We have been. Are you now on it?
Are you now on it? Are you a believer, Bobby? Because you've been a little late to this party.
Are you jumping on our train that we've been the conductors of?
The whole time?
Bobby's choosing Ime over us. Wow, okay. I see how it is.
I can live with it.
Better have something good to report then. You better come back with something good for the people. That's all I'm going to say.
So, you know, there's so many things to talk about. And like you said, Tice, this might have been his best game in a year. Just looked better. Jalen, again, I said it last game, but the jump is back.
He just had that little swagger going too. I think that, he's,
quicker,
got the
more decisive.
Handling.
Yeah. Yeah. Rocking.
And you know what? John, they did it all. They did it against one of the guys that you have a major, major dislike for. And I mean major dislike for in Rudy Gobert. Nobody dislikes Rudy Gobert more than John. I don't really know what it is, John hates Rudy Gobert. And tonight we saw on display, Rudy Gobert is a fraud.
Well, I just don't. It's one of those things where, like, the numbers fraud. Say he's the best defensive player who's ever played, right? What's up, Kes? Come on. The number says last year that was like one of the best defensive seasons ever. And like, I get it. I think he's hurt because they don't have guys who can defend the perimeter. So he's really on an island back there. And they're getting to where they want to go. And it's just not, he doesn't have a lot of help. So he's the only guy. But last year, Rudy Gobert, a lot of people were saying is a legitimate MVP candidate. And if you're watching tonight, check mark Rob, you know?
Yeah.
Like
another one on Rob's.
I was like, this will sound condescending. And I mean, again, if nobody hates
you, condescending?
If nobody hates Gobert more than me, nobody loves Rob more than I do. And I try to be fair with Rob and be like, okay, still want to see a little more. He's just different, man. You know, like, and this was like, I was proud of him. Like I said, I don't want to sound condescending, but I was like, you know, you have the game versus Rudy and you're like, is Rudy going to eat him up? Is it going to be like a 20 rebound game? Is he going to be blocking shots? Is Rob going to get, nope.
Yeah.
Rob snatched like 9 rebounds in the first. And then he friggin' started blocking shots with his elbow late. He was just impressive. And Rudy did nothing all game.
Rob has grown up in front of our eyes. Two seasons ago in the bubble, he was getting torched. I mean, remember what Bam did to him? I mean, Rob was just happy to be there on the court, sharing the court with these guys. And now he has the confidence and he's got, you know, a little bit more experience on his side now. And he's going toe-to-toe with these guys. And they have to think twice before they go. They go anywhere near him. Or even if they don't go near him, he just shows up out of nowhere and blocks the hell out of him.
I agree with this comment, and this is one of the things we talk about with Rob, is he's everywhere. He's switching, he's guarding the perimeter, and he's doing it well. He's out there guarding guys and keeping them from getting into the lane, guys who are quicker. He's just different. And Rudy just sits there and, bats shots away. And, he's a deterrent. He's still Rudy. But people are putting this in the chat. I tweeted this also. Rob over Rudy right now, man. It's not
over Rudy. You got to weigh everything. Who are you
it's
going
not
with?
Homerism. I love it. I love what we're seeing from Rob.
What about Mitchell over?
Mitchell's Tatum real around? Again. I don't think Tatum's playing better than most people in the world right now. So like this level of Tatum is at a different level. The body of work over
Mitchell
the course
Tatum
of
is right there.
The body of work over the course of a season is pretty equal with these guys. Tatum's just playing better now and the Celtics are killing people. So you're going to say Tatum, but Mitchell's in that they're in the same stratosphere. They're in that same tier. Mitchell's a competitor. He's a shot maker. He's friggin' good, man.
He's awesome. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that was supposed to be a tough, That was supposed to be a tough one. There was no really good answer for that.
No, but that's a tough one. I know everyone's going to be like, are you crazy, Tatum's? Yeah, right now, Tatum is great. You got to tip your hat. Mitchell's really, really good. Yeah. Someone asking, is this the hot guy?
So you had to be watch the last show in order to know what it means. If you watched the last episode, there was a huge discussion on Celtics superheroes, and John said that Peyton Pritchard was Hawkeye, and I thought he said hot guy. Well, you said he was Hawkeye. So the whole time I'm like, why is John calling Peyton Pritchard a superhero named Hot Guy? I mean, I'm not a superhero. I'm not a superhero guy. So I thought that John was like, yo, he's totally Hot Guy. And, like, here's why. And I'm like, okay, Hot Guy it is. So that's the backstory of Hot Guy. You got to watch the last episode. You got to keep up with the episodes. You know, if you miss a Celtics game, you got to watch the show because sometimes they carry over.
Jimmy the Hot Guy. Yeah. And this would have made our tournament bracket. I'll let you guys know while we wait for the reinforcements to get here as well. We're running this tournament of Garden Reportisms. That we want you guys to vote on.
And you can vote in this chat. Is that correct? In the YouTube
chat?
So
we're putting up the polls throughout here. We're going to put up the entire Sweet 16.
Hold on, get this up for a minute.
At the end of tonight, we are going to move on to the Elite Eight. We're going to put that up on Twitter, and we're going to let you vote on Sunday to get to the Final Four. So the Elite Eight begins tomorrow. This is your last chance to vote. We're going to put up each game and each matchup right now.
Some close races here?
Huh?
We got some close races going on.
We got some close races. Yeah, there's a couple blowouts too. There's some things people like Amit.
There's a few that I think are going to be difficult to. They're going to run. Yeah, you know, the Final Four is going to be very interesting because there's some home run ones here.
Yeah, there's some. Like good I ones.
Still maintain Bike Watch is like a very strong 3 seed. Brockton Wi-Fi. I don't know how that one can lose. Jim's fart again. The fart should be in quotation marks. That's
up with a question mark.
Yeah, with the question mark. That one is under protest.
We would have put Jimmy's towel rolls and hot guy into the bracket if it was just a day later.
the paper towel rolls, everybody. Just so everyone's aware, those are paper towels.
So that's good. So like, it's funny, as out of things as we were to say when this team sucked for 140 games or 130 games, I'm nearing it now. It's beyond hyperbole what they're doing to people right now. It looks like they're toying with them.
Nobody could say they knew it was coming.
Yeah. Oh, we knew it all along. It doesn't matter, but it's beyond like they're toying with people. It's bordering on disrespectful at this point. Like they're just messing with people. They're playing with their food, you know, like they're just, it's not even close. You get into a couple of stretches and they're like, the lead was 27 or 28. And then they take a couple of threes early in the shot clock. And Ime's like, timeout, get over here, idiots. Stop doing that. They come out of the timeout. They're like, he's right. And they clamp down on defense, work the ball around, build the lead back up to 27. And the other team's like, damn it. You know, like, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. 37 assists. I mean, the whole game was ridiculous. You know, and they're playing with the attitude of a team that's like, yeah, we're going to hit all these shots, you know? And then the defense is just nuts, man. It's the same thing. It's just switch, 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 and no one can get anywhere. Jazz had a teeny bit of success getting into the middle, just a little bit, and then they closed that out too. It's just incredible.
It's incredible. You know what? The Heat lost tonight.
Yep.
The Celtics are a game and a half out of first place in the Eastern Conference. And not only did the Heat lose, I saw on Twitter that Udonis Haslam had to be restrained from going at Jimmy Butler tonight. I don't know. I didn't see the video. I just saw it on Twitter. And, man, that is not what you want to see if you're a Heat fan or if you're on the Heat, because there's trouble in paradise. There's trouble in Miami down there. So the Celtics are hot right at the best time to be. It's like the NFL. It's not always the best team that runs the table. I mean, the NBA is different because it's a 7-game series. In the NFL, you can just win a game and go on to the next round. But the hot teams, the teams that are playing their best basketball going into the playoffs, that's where you want to be.
Yeah,
you don't want to be the Heat going after your teammate, right? You know, a week before the playoffs start. Why the hell would you want to be in that situation? And so that's the one seed is in play here.
Yeah, and you're right. And I'm looking at that video. What happened was it looked like Spoelstra was trying to give them some sort of some sort of instruction. And Jimmy was, who knows what he was doing? He was having his say, talking back, disputing it.
Being Jimmy Butler.
Being defensive, whatever. Who knows? Haslam didn't like it. Haslam started in on Jimmy, and then it just got up from there. And then they both stood up, and then there's barking and stuff. So it definitely got...
I mean, it's not going to break up the team, but it's something to at least...
It started with Spoelstra and Butler, and Haslam jumped in and obviously had Spoelstra's back and was like, "What are you doing?" So,
well, Haslam's got to have Spoelstra's back because it's like shouldn't even be on a roster.
This is an interesting point by Kess here, talking about the defense. Like, for some reason, like, playing defense is energizing them instead of sapping them. And like we talked about, like, Tatum and Brown at the beginning of the year and why the defensive effort had waned, like, because Tatum and Brown sucked last year at defense, and that was a big issue. It's almost like they decided, we're now superstars, we're not going to give, you know, the full defensive effort. And one of the things we dogged them about earlier in the year was this, which is like, they want to play like stars. They want to be front runners. They want to shoot. They'll play defense when it matters in tight and close games, but not necessarily all game long. So they're not going to do, I mean, bad example given the timing of it, but they're not going to do the Jimmy Butler where they're just going to play, you know, balls out for friggin', you know, 40 minutes and sacrifice stats and sacrifice their offense and just do whatever it takes to win. And I remember making that, we made that comparison there, and we're like, well, that's who they are now, but they're not doing that anymore. They're all trying across the board with maximum effort, and it's not killing their offense at all. In fact, I think they've realized on offense, like, I can work a little less hard if I pass the ball a little bit instead of, like, just, you know, trying to go one on five all the time. But like, it all goes back to Ime and all goes back to full buy-in.
Completely. I mean, and it's a good point by Kess, because you're right. You drain all your energy on defense, and then you don't have the legs on the offensive side of things. But that, I mean, these guys are world-class athletes. They're all physically, you know, they should all be able to physically make it through an entire game by playing hard on both ends. So I'm not stunned. I mean, they're also, you know, the best players are young players, so there's no reason why they can't go all out on both ends. I mean, Horford aside, obviously he's not the youngest guy, but you know, he doesn't also need to give you a ton on the offensive end. But you know, when you're getting stops, that's going to get you going. That's going to get your mindset in the right place. Your, you know, attitude is in the right place. These guys are kind of feeding off each other. So I think they're kind of going on adrenaline out there, really. I mean, it's a rush when you get a big stop on the defensive end and get out on the break. Like, that's why you play the game. Yeah. So that's one of the reasons behind it for sure. And like you said, John, they're making it easier for themselves on offense by finding the open man, whipping the ball around, and not trying to put the team on their back. You know, each player isn't trying to do it all at once.
Yeah, I like that point, Jimmy.
Laughing at, dude. I just made a good point.
No, not you.
I heard a good... I forget who said
this comment.
I wish...
Like the MTV me?
No, like that mafia guy. He gets made, you know? He's getting made.
I thought there was like, make me into a... Never mind, just go on.
Do I have to school you on comic books and mafia movies and everything, Jimmy? What do you consume?
Just dude, made could mean anything.
No, it means this.
It's snacks. Snacks on the show.
Bobby, Jimmy, just go.
You make such a good point about the defense and the way it energizes this team. I heard a great comparison. I forget who said it lately, that for most teams, trying to get stops and like trying to get around their deficiencies on the defensive end, it's work and it tires them out. And you know, teams start screening them and they just get worn out by trying to defend and keep up on that end of the floor. The Celtics are so good on that end that it makes the offense easier for them with these breakouts and stuff. They switch easily, so they're not exerting a ton of energy on that end. And the game just flows with relative ease to them, and it gives them a real floor, a real consistency, quarter to quarter, game to game. I mean, there's no letdown with this group because it all stems from defense. And that's such a focus for them that it doesn't look hard. You know, like, it's not a struggle on the defensive end for them to get by. So that's another reason I really like their ability to make a big run here.
Bobby, what did Ime have to say?
A little about the focus the rest of the way. They're going to balance some rest here with trying to make a run. It was funny. He said they're trying to avoid the play-in. I think that's sort of in the past. In fact, I did the standings last night.
They're, yeah, I'll be honest. I couldn't follow. John, when he sent that standings, I couldn't follow any of it. I'll be honest.
They're pretty much locked in as a home court team at this point, the way Chicago's sliding, Cleveland, all the rest. But I am going to go talk to Marcus real quick before I bounce back.
All right, go talk to Marcus. Jimmy and I'll just keep putting up the mob references.
Yeah.
Bobby, order the gabagool.
Yes.
Shit. I love it.
I mean, dude, I understand. I get it now. I wasn't thinking. I wasn't looking at it at all.
It's not quite your homeschool gaffe, but it's, you know, you've had a couple questionable ones recently.
I've had a couple. Listen, I've had a couple. My head might not be completely in the right space, maybe.
Oh, man.
I'm not thinking mafia when I'm talking about basketball. So,
yeah, I know.
Maybe I should be. I look at Bobby. I mean, yeah, that was a mafia looking type of an outfit. For sure.
Bobby is a good earner. This thing of ours. No, good stuff. Yeah, like I said, good stuff all around. And again, the talk about the defense turning to offense, it's so true, but it's like, it does. I really do think if it's not energy, it's confidence. Like being good at one thing, you know,
but like, you have to work harder.
I know,
on
but you start to, it almost gets addictive. You're like, it becomes a thing when you realize like we're doing the best thing about the defense is like, we're doing it together and like, it's connected, you know, and on to the next guy, you're switching, you're helping each other. And like, you start to like, just the way that they're playing defense, one guy's counting on the next guy so much so that you almost just can't let him down anymore. And then it works. And then you want to do it again. And then you want to do it again. So like, it becomes that thing where you realize like these guys, and that makes you feel like a big man. Which one are you laughing at now?
The one in quotes. I don't know. They're going so quick right now. I can't keep up with them. But
that makes you feel like a big guy, and you're like, I want to do that again. I want to do that again. You know, and that's what they're doing right now. It's amazing. I know everybody has been saying
John, I just want to say this, and you, everyone always knows this. It's harder to play offense when you're constantly giving up points. I mean, yeah, it's harder to play offense when you're playing poor defense because. You're letting the defense come back, get back on you. And that's my point. I horribly said, but you understand what I'm saying.
He never had the makings of a varsity athlete. I'm going to talk to Marcus. Oh, crap.
He just takes Marcus on the shoulder and just, yeah.
It is funny. People are talking about it. We're sitting here giggling. Yeah, what a difference a month makes, guys. I mean, anybody who's like, oh, you want to be negative. No, it's much more enjoyable to have a team that's fun to watch.
Dude, back in December, we were basically just like dead, lifeless.
Oh, my God.
Bodies. Just we're calling every day Groundhog Day, and we were going through like clips of Groundhog Day comparing it to like the Celtics. That's how bad it was. And we honestly were like, how can we do this? How can we do an entire season like this?
Yeah.
We couldn't take the paper towels. No more paper towels, guys. You guys bullied me out of it. You won't see one ever again.
Oh,
used them all up last night.
That stuff is great. Yeah, Bobby's got actual work to do. Jimmy and I are just here to giggle and poke fun at each
actually,
other for a little
we're
bit.
We're just here to hang.
Yeah. Forget about it. So, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about it because it is getting interesting. The Heat lose and the Celtics, are dangerously close right now.
One and a half. So, Heat lose. Did Bucks or Sixers even play tonight? I haven't even checked.
Probably Sixers not. Play late.
Oh, okay.
Bucks won last night. So, they inched back ahead of the Celtics, and the Celtics with a win jumped back into a tie with them.
Sixers against the Lakers. Yeah, they're probably going to win that one.
Sixers, Lakers. Yeah, we'll see what happens there. So that one's interesting. But you've got a couple things that happen. Celtics are tied with the Bucks for second place, only a game and a half back of the Heat. Again, that's two. That's it's two in the loss column, though. But then the other big thing, obviously, that happened today, which is freaking everybody out, is the mayor of New York. What's so funny? This would have never happened if not for Aaron Judge. Kyrie Irving did not win this battle. Aaron Judge won this battle.
That's a great point. Have they been saying that pretty much?
I think that's a feeling, you know. that, you know, when it was going to come to the Yankees and you knew that one of their best players and like, it was like, I don't know, special exemption. What do you say? You know, Bobby bag of donuts, what you got? And, yeah. You know, they friggin', you know,
the
they
Yankees
did it.
Have pull. The Brooklyn Nets do not have any freaking pull. They're
Bobby
barely New York team.
Bobby Bacala is like, let the kids play. And he did. And that was it, you know?
So tell everybody, John, go ahead.
No, that's it. So now Kyrie plays every game starting tomorrow. For the rest of the season, and that means,
yeah, if you're rich and famous, you can do whatever you want,
right? But that's freaking everybody out now because we started talking about it. We had the conversation the other day, and it was like kind of split. You know, avoid the Nets and don't get the what. Careful to get the one or the two seed, or
now the Nets are going to try to win everything. Now they want home court.
Yeah, you know. Or who cares, just play, you know, and whatever happens, happens. I'm still firmly in the avoid the Nets camp. And not because...
Well, yeah, of course. I mean,
again,
it's not, obviously now,
not because you can't beat them, only because that would be the one team that I think could possibly, at this point, upset the Celtics in the first round. We've completely changed our thinking, which is Celtics are probably going to finish in the 5-8 zone, five or six, and still play one of the top teams and lose in the first round. Two, okay, if they get home court and they end up with a Cleveland or Chicago, there's a good chance of winning. Now, I'm certain any team they play in the first round they will beat, except if it's Brooklyn, which I'm not certain of. Doesn't mean I don't think they will. It just that's the one where you're no longer certain. That being said, the Nets, with Kyrie and KD tonight, go into Memphis and lose to the Grizzlies who don't have Ja Morant. So I don't know what to think of this team. And yeah, I just don't know how, even if Simmons comes back, I don't know how you integrate him into this team. He's a weird guy. Like, they got to figure out his fit. I don't know that he's not just a guy who comes in and plays a position. They got to figure out who he's good with, what he does well. Is he the four? Is he the point guard? What the rotations are? It's going to be really hard to shoehorn Simmons in there. So they're messy. I'd just still rather duck that punch if I could.
Of course. I mean, and Simmons aside, because, I mean, I think I might be taking a massive L on that one, and Bobby's going to have a victory lap. And if he does, he does. The way it's looking right now, I don't know if Simmons is going to play. I mean, his back issue comes out of freaking left field. Herniated disc, is that what it was? I mean, that's guy's Simmons, not overweight. Yeah. He's not old. I don't know what the hell's going on. I know he got a herniated disc sitting around for 6 months, but apparently he's got a herniated disc. So that is a completely colossal failure trade for the Nets if he doesn't play this year, because obviously they were good enough to go to win. If they had James Harden on their team right now and Kyrie Irving just got the clearance, yeah, I know that there was the trouble amongst players for whatever reason, but just talent alone, I mean, they have to be the favorite. So you get rid of Harden. And didn't Seth Curry just get hurt? So, like, they've got a lot of issues over there in Brooklyn. But Kevin Durant is, you know, arguably the best player in the NBA. You can still make that argument. Kyrie Irving is one of the most talented players in the NBA. We just saw him just go off last week. He could have probably dropped 80 if he played long enough. So these guys have the ability to take over games when they flip a switch. Yeah, they lost a weird one tonight. It's the NBA. That's going to happen once in a while, but you know, we wasn't too long ago where they met the Celtics. Now that was without Jaylen Brown, and so that's kind of a wash. But they're just they're going to be a tough out. Whoever ends up with them, they're going to be a tough out. Yes, you can beat them, but why do you want to go to freaking war in the first round if you don't have to? You know, you got to try to avoid them.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you can, let them go to war with another team for six games. You know.
Yeah.
So I don't know why anyone would be wanting to play them. We're not saying that they can't beat them. I think it's safe to say the Celtics can beat any team.
Yeah.
The NBA at this point.
All right. We want to take a little pause, tell everybody about our exclusive wagering partner, Bet Online, betonline.ag. It's that time of year as college basketball takes center stage, as the tournament is finally upon us. Looking to wager, Bet Online is the number one spot for all your updated odds and information, along with great contests, including the bracket contest, where you have a chance to take home the top prize. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Just use our promo code CLNS50 to get started. Bet Online is your continued source for all your sporting wagering needs, including live betting and your favorite Vegas casino games. It's the fastest and easiest way to wager on all the popular sports and games. Bet Online, where the game starts. Once again, head over there to the website, use that promo code CLNS50 and get started today. Look, the journalist, the TV producer, the guy who was once upon a time, you know, obsessed with ratings and views and clicks and all of that stuff, likes the Nets. It's fun, you know, right. Because it's a good matchup and it's a good, and I like stories. So yeah, it's great to play them.
Oh, it'd be great. I want them to play it for
great
the story.
Fun. And but I'm just saying, just simply to maximize your chance of winning, it'd be better to not. Some people are making the argument though. They're going to be a mess early because they haven't really played together. So if you are going to run into them, better to run into them early than late. I could see that.
Well, if they're a mess, they won't get out of the first round. You never have to play them.
Yeah. And that's it. So that would be the only thing I would say. If right now, based on the way both teams are playing, I would take the Celtics. I wouldn't even hesitate. But
yeah, I would too.
I don't think any of the other teams could possibly beat the Celtics at this point. Any of the other play-in teams, Atlanta, Toronto, Charlotte, none of those teams, Cleveland, if they fall in, none of those teams are beating the Celtics. No chance.
Oh, if the Celtics end up with a top two seeding?
End up with whichever one it is, whoever they play in that six through, honestly, at this point in that 5-10 range, the only one I wouldn't feel 1,000% confident watching them play right now would be Brooklyn, just because
that's fair.
They can be whoever. So that's going to be the argument. You know, there as things kind of wind down, it wouldn't be stunning if certain teams tried to tank. Like, you think Philly wants a piece? You know, I don't think so. I don't think Philly wants a piece of the Nets. So it wouldn't be surprising if they start resting guys and they're like, you can have the two seed, you know? So I don't know. That's where I'm at.
I'm just trying to get my camera to focus, but it's impossible. So I'm just going to be this blurry face for a bit, and that'll be that.
You're okay.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's I hate we do this all the time because it's fun, but we don't know. I mean, the East is so tight right now. We have no idea, like, where they're going to end up, what team's going to end up where. But I think at this point, the one thing that has happened over the last month or so is that we've become more confident in whoever they play. Because if you're a team that says, oh, you want to avoid this team, this team, this team, and this team, it's like, well, you're probably not a playoff team if you're trying to avoid half the freaking league in the playoffs. But I don't think we're at that point anymore. I think if you're a Celtics fan or if you're the Celtics, you're ready to freaking, you know, go to battle, you know, bring him in. Who is it going to be? Who's next? Yeah, bring him in.
Sherrod, you look freshly shorn. You
Sherrod.
Look like really, really cleaned up.
What's up, bro?
What's going on, buddy?
I don't have a mask.
Is that so, all it is?
Yeah. I had to shave the shit. I'm stuffed.
That's what it is.
That's what it is. You look, you know.
Mask man.
Where's Bobby Bag of Donuts? Is he in there or?
I have no idea. Yeah. I have no idea. I know Marcus Smart just finished talking, which is great because I don't know how much you've talked about Marcus Smart so far. Okay.
We actually haven't mentioned him once. So
No way.
We didn't get in.
So he gets the Brownie Award tonight. He gets the Brownie Award, then, if you haven't mentioned him yet.
He gets the Brownie Award.
I would be more than happy to give him the Brownie Award. I'd consider giving it to Rob also, but I think Marcus making a career high in assists. And again, when your team makes 80% of the field goals, it's easier to get those dimes, but it doesn't matter.
There it is.
Doesn't matter. He was awesome.
Always a butt.
Well, look, what did we say about Marcus? The best version of Marcus is the one who doesn't shoot a lot. 3 freaking field goals, 13 assists. He was all over the place, man.
Hey,
he was
shout out us. We've been saying that for, what, 2 seasons now? So shout out us. Even though he didn't probably like to hear it, shout out us.
Yeah, Sherrod, go ahead.
The thing about him today was that it just came so easy to him and the entire team. I mean, they made the first 10 shots. Who the hell makes the first 10 shots in the NBA against a team like Utah, which, by the way, is the 9th best defense in the NBA? This was embarrassing. I mean, just talking with some of the folks in Utah, I mean, this was an embarrassing loss. The Celtics are the better team. I get that. But, damn, they didn't show up. There's no compete at all. And I give the Celtics a lot of credit for that because what we've been talking a lot about is how they basically just take the will out of teams early, and teams are just They're just helpless.
So that is the kind of the question is like, if you're, it depends how you look at it, right? You're always looking at it from the team you cover or the team you're a fan of's perspective, and you play a bad game or you play a game like this, you're on the receiving end of it. And you're like, we didn't have it tonight. But the other team and the fan base says, nah, man, we took it from you. We stomped you out. So it's always interesting. Like, are these teams leaving here thinking, okay, we didn't play our best game and they took advantage of it? Or are they thinking like, that's a freaking buzzsaw over there right now? Because I don't know how you would, you know, it's not like you lost by 10, 12, 15. You literally just, it was never a competitive ball game. They destroyed you.
Teams are leaving here lobotomized after they play the Celtics. That's what's happening, because they take everything that you value as a team and just rip it out, shred it in front of you. Like I said, they're taking your lunch money every single game. Think about this. Rudy Gobert is one of the elite defensive players in the NBA, really not just in general, but just for the last decade, maybe all time, three defensive player of the year awards. You know how many block shots he had tonight? The same as John Zanis,
yep,
Jimmy Toscano, Bobby Manning, and Sherrod Blakely. Yep. That should never happen. In fact, and not only did he have a big fat goose egg,
he was a no-show
team. Their entire team finished with zero block shots. That's inexcusable for a top 10 defensive team, particularly one that has, like, you know, the biggest big man on the floor. So, like I said, they lobotomize teams when they come into this building. And they take it a step further, and they do it on the road.
That's funny.
Sorry, Sherrod. You missed some good stuff earlier, and we're still giggling a little bit. But you're right. They're absolutely – you see the slumped shoulders, right? That's the best thing. You watch a couple defensive possessions and a team just can't get anything going. Then, you know, the Celtics just bing, bang, boom. Their offense was a machine tonight. They just go the other way. One time they got it down to like 19. Celtics came right back, stepped on the gas, back to 27. You know, Rob's blocking shots with his friggin' armpits, and everyone's like, oh, man. You know, like Bobby or Jimmy mentioned it, the Tice block. After that, Utah's like, what are we can't, I don't want to do this anymore. They just didn't look.
We're at this stage of the game.
Yeah.
Their third center or fourth center, depending on how you want to look at it, is pinning your stuff on a glass like Dikembe Mutombo.
Tice is awesome tonight.
The best Tice since last year, right?
Yeah. He's getting settled in. That's another thing Ime talked about post game was the bench starting to acclimate itself more and more. That's been his emphasis the last week or so here, is getting those guys into a flow. Certainly Pritchard's in one big time right now, and we'll get to him again by the end of the show.
I'm sure we will.
I gave you a layers. Shot. I gave they're you stacking, a shot.
They're stacking layers. I like to go from the top to the bottom. So, Smart, setting the table. You talked about the 10-for-10 start, Sherrod. He was everywhere moving the ball in that first quarter. One of his best quarters ever. This might have been Smart's best game ever in my mind. In total control.
No.
No.
I mean, this is career high for assists.
He's had five or six better games this year, you know, easily.
Right,
this
might have been any of those.
This might have been one of his better playmaking games, but I have to put it in context of the fact that the Celtics pretty much made every damn shot they took early on.
Yeah,
fair
enough.
He had 10 assists in the first 13 minutes on the court. Who the hell does that? Chris Paul doesn't do that. 10 assists in 13 minutes? That's a little bit more than just getting guys the ball in a sweet spot. That's just guys making anything and everything they throw up, which is great if you're the Celtics. That's what you want, obviously.
Yeah, it's early offense, though. He's getting them into those sets quickly. And he's the one, oftentimes, him and Horford turning the defense into offense. It's amazing seeing how he has just embraced his position. You hear the defiance he talks with. Max obviously got him on the elevator saying it was all about just getting the ball to the point guard. And you hear him say this again and again, like, that's who I am. You know, we were just waiting to get me in that spot. Like, he is very emboldened in the fact that him getting into this role, whether he's done it or not, I think that's a big debate tonight, is whether this has always been Smart. It's beautiful to watch right now.
It is, but I don't believe it's always been him, because I just think that he, you know, there was a point where he was looking to prove himself as a scorer in this league. I mean, he had the kind of the banner of being a combo guard, and he wanted to establish himself as a scorer more so than a playmaker. But now I give him a lot of credit. He's doing exactly what you want your point guard to do. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact that Marcus is at that age where most NBA players are at their peak. And that's what we're seeing. I think this is the best version of Marcus Smart that we are seeing because he's at the best point.
We can in compromise his career on that.
To be that.
So is this something that has just taken Marcus, you know, this amount of time to get to where they needed him to be, sort of situation? Because I mean, this was a new role for him.
Right. I think it's a style, I think, situation type thing. He is playing the style of basketball, and he's been put in a situation where he can do that with some consistency. And they're showing trust in him. I mean, that's the big thing. I think that there was a period of time where they really weren't sure if he could handle the load that Ime expects from him. But he's obviously proven himself worthy of being the playmaker full time and not just having to play off the ball at all. So
I agree with that 1,000%. He had to prove it to them. He had to prove it to Ime. You know, he talked to The Athletic about that. Great interview earlier in the year where he said basically Ime challenged him that he can't do this. And he, you know, sort of walked that back. But there was a sense that he wanted to do it. He said after Chicago, maybe put the ball in my hands more. I'm just standing in the corner here. There's not much I can do about it. And then he actually went out and showed it, and that Washington ran it. That was really the landmark moment for him, going out there and just firing the ball around, not shooting.
That's what bugs me about the narrative here is, why can't we just watch it and say he wasn't doing it the way they wanted, or he hadn't shown it enough or consistently for a period of time to the point that there was legitimate concern among fans and the organization and his head coach that they might not have the right floor general. And two, all of a sudden things starting to work, him upping the level of his game, him finally listening to some of the stuff that was being probably fed to him by coaches, not just Ime, but Brad last year. If you're going to do this thing of ours here, if you're going to run the show, you gotta.
Wasn't this the central issue surrounding Brad?
You gotta do it like this, and like not just him with Tatum and with Brown. If you're gonna, there's stuff we can do here if you just do it this way. And again, we talk about the wholesale buy-in. I think it began with Smart, so credit to him. But let's not pretend we've seen this and that everybody saw it from the get-go.
We've seen bits and pieces.
Bits and pieces. But even Ime was like, you know, I don't know. Smart saying Ime doesn't think I'm a point guard. Smart himself is admitting that his own coach doesn't think he can do the thing that every fan and you know is out there saying. We always knew it. Nobody actually knew it. They wanted it to be true, right. And they had to see it. And now you're seeing it. So like, that's great. I mean, it was hard to say that this was exactly how this team and Marcus was going to play. After having saw what we saw to start the year, it didn't look like it was working. It didn't. And now it looks flawless. You know, I mean, it's a remarkable turnaround.
Beautiful thing.
So, yeah, I don't know, Sherrod. I don't know what happened there, but it was.
Wasn't this the biggest controversy around Brad is that he allowed Smart to do whatever he wanted out there. And Brad talked about it often when he was a coach. He was like, all right, if he's going to do these things on defense for us, we'll give him more leeway to be free and loose offensively. Mm-hmm. And he may tighten it up a bit, certainly. I don't know I'm still digging to see like what the conversations were, you know, where it changed. The I love you moment really seemed like that turning point, didn't it? Back from the injury, starts firing the ball around everywhere. The offense ramps up, his assists ramp up, his ball time ramps up. And from there, they've rarely lost. And that was the turning point of the season, it felt like, was that win in Washington when he came back.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead, Jimmy.
No, cosign. You took the words right out of my mouth.
All right, Sherrod, then.
Okay. The thing about Marcus that we all understand is that what he is doing in the freedom and flexibility that he was given is typically given to your best defensive player. When you look at teams that have that one guy that really stands out, teams go out of their way to give them freedoms that they don't give everyone else because they're going to get that back and then some at the other end of the floor. So that's why Marcus Smart was essentially given a green light to shoot when he wanted to, because they knew that what he brought to the table defensively was going to compensate for whatever shortcomings he had as an offensive player. But now, as the primary playmaker, he's doing a better job of finding that balance between taking shots, probably fewer, which we saw tonight, getting other guys involved, and still bringing that defensive intensity and edge that they need. I mean, he is playing at the absolute best of what he has to offer. This is the best version of Marcus Smart we're seeing right now, all around game. I don't think that's even questionable at this point.
Not even questionable. Oh, yeah. What is your question?
for Sherrod. Did the acquisition of Derek White compel Marcus Smart to really step things up and play the style that maybe he was supposed to be playing more so prior to the acquisition of Derek White? Did he feel a little heat? Did he feel a little pressure there?
I would imagine he would. I mean, especially when you consider Derek Wright, you know, Derek White's profile. I mean, he's similar size to Marcus, a good defender. And, oh, by the way, he played with most of this coaching staff. So there's that the familiarity that he knows that they have that's probably stronger than what he had with them at the same point. So, yeah, I think that definitely helped. But at the end of the day, Marcus was basically given an opportunity to do what he asked for. He wanted to be more of a playmaker. He wanted to have the ball in his hands more. And that's what eventually Ime and Jason and Jalen have allowed to happen. Because that to me, I think Ime has been cool with Marcus having the ball as much as he needs it. But it was Tatum and Brown that had to buy into that. That's to me, when they bought into it, that's when you saw the change. Because remember, Marcus would bring the ball up and he'd pass it to Tatum, and Tatum would just go iso Tatum. And now that's not happening nearly as much.
Yeah, and that was the thing is, like, you know, when we always kind of sliced up the blame pie early in the year, I would always put the biggest helping on Tatum and Brown for without them buying in, without them doing it all, it's impossible for everyone else to. And I think you needed that in order for there to be that trickle down. And I think Marcus could not be the guy he wanted to be if those guys were going to play my turn, your turn basketball. He's right. And if Ime was gonna insist, I want the ball, I want things to run through these guys because I want them to, be playmakers in X, Y, and Z. It was weird, and you know, we had a lot of games where you just had non-shooting lineups, Smart and Schroeder on the floor at the same time with Tatum handling the ball, terrible spacing, and just kind of really weird finishes and a bunch of blown fourth quarter leads. It just looked horrible. It looked horrible. So those guys first had to buy in in order to get Marcus to be the best version of himself. And then everything kind of took off from there. But Jimmy said the trade of White, I think it was everything. Smart was hurt or COVID or whatever it was, and he came back from it. And I think he felt the heat. He felt that it was possible he could be traded. He knew it. You saw him lobbying for everything. He did that interview about Ime, this and that. He went out and just volunteered the fact in the post-game press conference that he told everybody. Nobody asked him, hey, did you tell your team you loved them? He just kind of put it out there. So he was doing some – he was kind of putting out there, like, I want to be the guy here. I really like it here. We can make this work. You just got to have faith in me. And it all kind of started to fall into place somewhere after that. But I don't know if it's a moment. I don't know what it was. But I agree with Sherrod. Like, it had to start with those guys in order for it all to work. Because otherwise, you'd see flashes and you'd see pieces. But it just didn't seem like it was cohesive. And certainly not for four quarters. Almost never on a nightly basis. Even some of the wins, it was like, they slugged that one out. But it was ugly at times. You know, like, they're playing near perfect games now for 2 months. You know, I mean, almost perfect games. It's incredible. And when they don't, they make up for their mistakes in such a resounding way that they're still pulling away from teams. It's remarkable.
Yeah. I mean, and to me, the thing that really, really jumps out is that they're at a point now where you really can't plan on locking any one or two guys up because, you know, you're seeing what happens when teams double or blitz Tatum. He's getting the ball exactly where it needs to be, and those guys are making plays. Al Horford is starting to, you know, kind of get into a nice flow, nice rhythm with a lot of those open corner Jays that he's starting to knock down. Derek White had a couple of shots that he knocked down. Pritchard has been off the charts the last, you know, four or five games. And it makes them an extremely difficult team to slow down offensively. And then you got to deal with them at the other end of the floor, where to me, I thought one of the great sequences was near the end of the second or third quarter, where you had two block shots by the Celtics at the rim, and neither one of them was by Robert Williams. And that is when you start saying, shit, we can't even get buckets at the rim when their best rim protector is on the bench. I mean, we got freaking, you know, Daniel Tice looking like the Kimpe Mutombo, pending stuff, you know, at the rim. Like, they, like I said, they are putting teams in an incredibly tough spot at both ends of the floor now. And that's what makes them a scary team come playoff time, because now they're starting to kill you at both ends of the floor.
Yeah. We used to shit on them for the way they started games. Remember how?
That's because they played like shit at the start of games. That's why. Yeah.
Right. That's what I mean. Yeah, like they used to be the team down 15 or 20 after the first quarter. Completely different. It's honestly baffling. I'm wondering, I don't even know if you can compare like the roller coaster of this season to like, there can't be many other seasons. Not talking about Celtics, but just in the NBA, that like a team looks as freaking bad as they did for 2 months and then just completely turns it around. Like without getting, you know, their superstar player back that was missing. Right. You know what I mean? Like they could spend the same players, you know, more or less. I mean, obviously you brought Derek White in and you lost a couple of, you know, role players, but the core of these guys are the same. And for them to just do this 180-degree turnaround, it's just crazy. I mean, like, nobody can honestly say that they saw this coming.
No, not except even the players.
But other than us, I can't imagine anybody else.
And even when you hear the players talk about how we always believe, you may have thought you would be better. I do believe they always felt they'd be better, but I can't imagine that they at some point felt
this much.
We're going to have the best defense in the NBA, and we're going to be top five offense, and we're going to win like 70-80% of our games the rest of the way. No, I don't think that they had that type of foresight. But they're better and they're consistent. And that's the one thing that really stands out to me is their consistency. They're not just beating the crap out of teams every now and then and squeaking out other ones. They're crushing teams home and on the road. And they're crushing teams who have certain players who are dominant, and those players are not being down. And we saw what they did with Jokic. He's so much better of a player than what we saw against the Celtics, but they made him very small. We saw it in Philadelphia with Embiid. We saw it tonight with, Donovan Mitchell, who had a great game. I mean, 37 points, shot 13 for 24 from the field, 6 rebounds. Usually that's going to get a Utah win. But instead, they got their asses whipped by damn near 30 points. And so that's what you're dealing with when you step on the floor with the Boston Celtics now, a team that your best player can have a great game and you can still get your ass kicked by 30.
I've said this a couple times, but it bears repeating. The first half of this season, they were playing so bad where they were expecting to lose. They were playing like losers. They were, even when they were winning, they would blow leads and they would just kind of wait to lose. They changed the way they play. They string a few wins together. And now the mindset's different. They're out there expecting to win games. They're out there expecting to go up 20, not go down 20, and keep that lead or to just suck the life out of the opponent. So like they've been on the other side of this. And luckily for them, I mean, at one point, they hit rock bottom. I don't know which game you guys want to pick. There are a couple of them there. Maybe it was that Knicks game. They hit rock bottom, and something happened where they just said, you know what? Like, we're done feeling this way. We're done playing this way. Like, this is horrible, and we're better than this. And now they expect greatness. They expect to win. They expect to lift each other up, you know, not go at each other, not bring each other down, not complain to the media or complain, you know, little things like that, you know, like they're just out there killing dudes.
That's
the mark of I'm truly baffled by it. I never thought that they were this mentally tough. I thought the opposite. I thought that they were a mentally weak team and that's why this season was going the way it was, but all credit to them for turning. I mean, credit Ime. I think Ime has done wonders for them, for their mindset and for their mentality. I think tough love goes a long way, and finally they, you know, he you know, got to them, and where they finally bought in. And you know, I'm sure the assistant coaches, Stoudemire and those guys, probably had a say in that too. I mean, those are guys that have been around the block in this league. So you know, it took a little bit longer than people wanted, but it didn't take too long where they didn't have the amount of time to turn around. And now they're in a position, Sherrod, where realistically they could be the one seed. I'm not saying that they are going to be, but they're a game and a half out of first place in the Eastern Conference. And, like, that to me is just crazy.
I mean, at this point, I don't think it should even be really much of a race for Coach of the Year. I mean, I think Ime should get it hands down. I mean, I know there's some people who, you know, they'll look at, you know, what Monty's doing in Phoenix, but shit, he did that last year with Phoenix. He's not doing anything significantly better than he did the previous year. For Ime to come in and basically change the mindset, change the games of Tatum, made Tatum a better all-around player. Tatum could always score, but now he's a playmaker too. You look at Marcus Smart goes from being a defensive guy who takes bad shots to a wily veteran playmaker who's getting you freaking 10 assists in 13 minutes against the ninth best defense in the NBA. that has a lot to do with coaches putting him in the right positions to be successful. And I mean, he definitely, I can't see how he wouldn't be coach of the year at this point, considering where this team began, where they are now. Because the folks who vote for that stuff, it's always a what have you done for me lately thing. And Ime lately has been exceptional.
I know, but the betting odds, Monty's still a huge favorite.
I'm taking
it. Yeah, because they're going to go based on record. And listen, the Suns are having an unbelievable season. So no one's going to say, oh, he doesn't deserve it. But to Sherrod's point, what Ime's been able to do in his first year here, taking over a team that, man, I mean, the organization itself was just in a tough place when Ime mm-hmm. took over. And he's changed the culture back. You know, I'm not going to give 100% credit to him, but he obviously had a huge, huge – I mean, these are the same players as last year, you know, and he's been able to – really change their mentality, change the culture, change the narrative around these guys. I mean, man, the way last season ended, I honestly thought, like, man, like, this franchise is going down the shitter, like, really fast right now. And it's like, it was just one thing after another the way it was going. And I don't feel that way right now. And I think a huge part of that has to do with Ime. I don't expect the national media to latch onto that. But around here, if you're a Celtics fan or if you're a, you know, if you're a Boston sports fan, you definitely know the difference that he's had.
Yeah.
Sean, I can hear you.
I love Ime. I really do. He's been incredible for this team. Like, and I just love the confidence. I love the persistence of his approach and his messaging and the toughness, the accountability, all those different things. And the criticism. That was my favorite part. Everyone wanted the chair thrower, the tough personality, the guy who was really going to dig into them. And I know the chairs aren't flying across the court, but this is about the closest you'll probably get to it in modern coaching. And he doesn't – like, I love that moment, Sherrod, a couple of weeks ago when he was like, yeah, some people didn't like me challenging their mental toughness, but I did it. And look at the results. Like, I just love that assuredness from him. You know, he's not hearing any of the criticism. He's just doing his thing. And even the losses really didn't get in the way of his approach. Like, a lot of first-year coaches, Sherrod, would have – probably wavered on their plan and their scheme and everything they were doing.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes. Yeah, we can. Okay. You're all right. I mean, Bobby, to your point, I mean, when you look at the coaches who are consistently putting out teams that are making deep, meaningful playoff runs, there's an edge about them, a toughness about them, a willingness to challenge their players regardless of what their pay status may be, regardless of if you're a max player or end of the bench guy. And that is what Ime brought to the table. You look at, you know, Spoelstra in Miami. You look at Popovich in San Antonio. You start going down a line and list of the top coaches in the NBA. They have that edge to them. And Ime, without question, has that edge. And to your point, Bobby, I was concerned about whether he would modify that a little bit as, you know, during those rough times early on. But to his credit, rather than just tweak it, shit, he doubled down on that and just would not back down from his belief that we have to be a tougher team mentally, and damn it, come hell or high water, I'm going to make it happen. And he did.
Yeah. The thing you mentioned earlier, what I was trying to say, Sherrod, is I am surprised it's not – he hasn't shot up the rankings in terms of the favorites for Coach of the Year because of the recency bias and because of the fact that, like, it is really – it's always like a turnaround sort of thing. You had a team that was 500 last year, coached by a coach who had a really who was a successful coach, highly regarded, and you're a rookie coach. So you're a rookie – you took a team that was mediocre last year that played like ass the first half of this year and turned them into an absolute freaking wagon in the second half of the year. Like, that's – this should be runaway unanimous Coach of the Year sort of stuff. It's stunning to me that, like, it's still like everyone's like, well, it's Monty's to lose. I can't believe it because it's – I don't just think he has – I don't just think he checks the boxes. I think we are too quick to blame coaches for when things go wrong. I actually don't believe Ime is getting nearly enough credit for how things are going well here because the same core was here last year and they were not responding.
You got to be close to it, John. Like, do you think anyone knows that he had a conversation with Rob and said,
were not responding. And Brad was an extremely good coach and a coach who has connected with players in the past and a coach who cares about his players and a coach who players believe in because they know he's smart and he knows what he's doing out there. So they trust that he's going to put them in the best position to succeed. And he couldn't reach the guys anymore. And And Ime's come in and taken the same core group of people and completely turned them around and made them into a version of them that I don't think we could have fathomed they would become. It's a bigger deal than people are making it out to be. That stuff doesn't just happen like that, you know? It's complete 180 right in the middle of a season. It's incredible. So, I don't know. Yeah. It's great. And again, yes, fine. Kemba gone, Horford in. They had the pieces to build the type of thing he wanted with a defensive team. There's certain things that worked. Things that were working against them last year where they couldn't be the team Brad wanted exactly them to be. But still, it's the same core. It's the same core here, you know?
Yeah. No, it's a little different, not too much. The core pieces are the same, essentially. The edges have been adjusted a little bit. But it's the little things that you just pick up from being around this team every day. Like that, I go back to that conversation he had with Rob and others about playing through pain. That was an issue on this team, and he just shored it up. The leadership stuff, the intangibles. He's touched almost every single part of this product here, this team, and this dynamic between everybody involved. You can go up and down the line here. The rotation, some of the young guys and the way they develop, management of guys that haven't played a lot of minutes. Like, he really got Pritchard through some tough times to get to where he is now. And that's a credit to him, too.
What do you want to say about Pritchard, Bob?
Drink.
Yeah, it is. It's just great watching him play like this. It really is. Like, every single time he shoots it now, you know it's going to go in. It wasn't that way early on. And there's, like, these little pockets of time he plays in where you talk about the key to a bench being, like, extending runs and turning these double-digit games into 20-point games, 30-point. That's the kind of stuff he's doing, especially early in third quarters. John, I know you look at it and say, oh, he's just running up the score in garbage time. These games are still moderately close when he's sprinkling in those 1-2 buckets and pushing it upward. Those are important baskets.
I'm not. I'm trying not to overstate the numbers. The numbers are what they are because he has had a lot of fourth quarter success, and that doesn't mean he's not knocking them down.
Like, he could have won that Dallas game
over the last you know, week to 10 days, he's been making more consistent contributions throughout the game and at earlier times. He has had a couple of great stints in that second team, second quarter unit that's also had Tatum out there. And they've really distanced themselves from teams in a couple of games and taken games that were 8-10 point games to 20-point first quarter leads and put it. So he's been part of units that have really extended leads and played really well. But for the most part, a lot of that stuff was coming. As I said, 70% of his overall production over the last, 15-20 games is fourth quarter production. And some of that was early fourth when they were giving some starters a rest, but a lot of it was garbage time too. Doesn't matter. He's in there playing in the all quarters now. He's subbing in the first or second quarter. If the ball comes to him, he's hitting a shot. So it doesn't matter where you're putting him in. They're going down right now. It's just a matter of he really wasn't being used that much. So the accumulated numbers were a lot of late numbers. Right now, though, I'm stunned when he misses. You know, if he gets an open look, I'm shocked when it doesn't go in. He's got that kind of vibe right now.
And the defense have improved.
The hot hand. Shooters get hot like that, man. And when they do, you got to find time to get them on the court. I mean, this is the time to play him.
He's making us believers, like that he can play real minutes.
We saw it in spurts last year, but he hit a wall last year. And then this year he was buried. And I think we all saw the writing on the wall when they brought in Schroeder that he was going to, finding some harder time to get minutes. But then once the trade happened, he and I said it on the past couple of shows, one of the few young guys that actually ran with the opportunity that he got and made the most of it and earned Ime's trust and earned the playing time. I mean, Nesmith was up in Maine yesterday. Romeo's in San Antonio. This guy, I don't know.
That's Tony Jones. That's like Tony him. Jones from the Athletic, a.k.a. the cover of great. The Tina got the ass whipped. He covered that Tina just got the ass whipped.
He's my one
east to get. Let's get his
take on the Celtics.
He's my one Utah follow.
Give you some analysis.
Yes,
Tony.
What happened?
Tony, what happened tonight?
Who's better, Rob or Rudy?
Yeah, Rob. Hey, if you could have Rob or Rudy,
Rob or Rudy, pick one.
Hold on, he can't hear you guys.
Ask him for us.
Just ask him.
Rob or Rudy? Who would you have? Rob or Rudy? Robert Williams or Rudy Gobert?
Who's a better player?
Who would you have right now, right, like today?
Rudy.
He says Rudy.
He'll get there.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with Tony saying that.
Why do you say it so confidently? His boy just got worked tonight from start to finish.
It was one game.
The Rudy thing really is crazy. This guy's becoming one of the most hated players in the league.
Rudy's an easy guy to hate. I mean, damn.
Well, he started COVID.
Because he gave the last couple years COVID to the.
Oh yeah, he started. He started COVID.
He gave COVID to America. Yeah. He shut down sports.
Yeah. He created the bubble.
Oh man, he's never gonna shake that. Even though. On the gloves, whatever. I'll let that go. But anyway, the boos in here for Rudy were very loud today. Intros, every time he touched the ball.
Well, he should have been booed.
Like he left the Celtics.
The French are tough to like in general.
He's better than
you
that.
Said this before, Jimmy, and I had somebody get mad at you, okay?
Well, this is why you didn't like Fournier, Jimmy.
No, we're Francophiles on this show, Jimmy. We don't say that kind of stuff.
I mean, all right, you're a big Evan Fournier fan? Were you a huge fan?
Yes.
Why are you going to bring Fournier in?
Bring him in.
I love him.
Well, country.
He's not French. Jawan Bergeron speaks French, though. So you got to show some respect to me.
I'm cool with the language. It's a romantic language to learn. You got to know a few words to –
couple updates with our bracket, best version of ourselves, and Brockton Wi-Fi make it into the Elite Eight. It looks like Phenomenal is coasting into the Elite Eight. Some of the others are still too close to call, so vote, whether it be on our polls here or on Twitter, as we whittle it down by the end of tonight, by the end of this show, voting is closed. We are tabulating the polls, and we are on to the Elite Eight.
Couple of tight races, couple of blowouts. You know, it's classic March Madness. You know, you get a little bit of everything.
So this is what we've got. Bike Watch and Marcus Smart is a little bit too close to call. Herman Gomez is locked in a tight battle there with Bobby's bucket hat.
He was here tonight.
Yes.
Yeah.
Boomer Rage and Calm, too close to call.
That's like a one versus two. Boomer Rage versus Calm.
The five seed making a run here?
Calm should have been seeded higher than that.
I think Calm is a very strong five seed. I might be a little biased.
Yeah.
I think that was kind of like
Calm feels like a three seed.
Official Calm guy.
It is what it is. Right now, the seedings are out the window. It's just a bunch of teams scrapping, trying to get there to the Elite Eight.
The committee will discuss rankings again next year, but they are what they are. So
if you missed the poll in the chat, you got to head. Yeah, no, it's closed on Celtics CLNS. This is it, guys. We're in the final tabulation.
Can I ask one more thing before we get out of here? What happened in Miami tonight?
Hey, John, I sent you the Twitter clip. I was hoping that you.
I watched the video. I didn't want to play it for copyright issues, but at the end of the day, Spoelstra and Jimmy were getting into it on the bench, and Haslam jumped to Spoelstra's defense, stood up, and he and Jimmy got in each other's face. So,
what do you mean copyright issues? It's the NBA. Everyone can play whatever the hell they want, it seems like.
Sometimes, but. Who you got back there, Sherrod, yapping in your ear? Is that Tony?
Yes, it's Tony. That's what Tony does.
It was way more about Butler and Spoelstra than it was Butler and Haslam.
And so, these guys over here are talking about Rob and Rudy, dummies.
So I don't know what happened there, but the Heat have slipped a little bit here. Celtics play them next Wednesday. Celtics are a game and a half back of them. That happened fast. They were four a few days ago. And I thought that was a little unattainable with 11, 12 games left. Now, all of a sudden, the Celtics could be the one seed next week. Never mind by the end of the year. The way they're winning, the way they're just taking on anybody right now. And I kind of feel like they're gonna. Like, other teams are swinging rests here. I know the Nets lost again tonight. Like, other teams are just sort of coasting to the finish line here. But the Celtics are just on this roll that doesn't look like it's ending anytime soon here. And I know there was a lot of concern about dodging Brooklyn and stuff. They got Kyrie back in the fold full-time soon now, it looks like, and I think they're going to rise a little bit above that spot by the time this ends here. So you're suddenly in a really good position entering the playoffs if you're the Celtics.
you are Bobby, but you got to keep in mind, Bobby, that the Celtics have like the third toughest schedule, remaining schedule in the NBA.
Yeah, that road trip at the end.
Yeah, so for them to get, especially at the very end of the season, I mean, you're playing, you know, if you're the Celtics, you're hoping that you're playing teams that already have their playoff position cemented and they're just resting guys. Because then it becomes a matter of their backups versus your backups. Yeah. And if you're the Celtics, it's like, well, okay. The way Pritchard is shooting, the way Derek White is doing his thing. Jimmy. Grant.
Guys, I do want to share one thing. Hold on.
Point being, it was a full minute argument. It was an extremely long argument between coach
54 and seconds.
I want to share one thing before we go because I have a programming note. It was a long argument. It was heated. They went at it for a while.
It was a very heated argument. I think it deserves more than just a brush over.
Celtics heat a week.
Jimmy's fart and apology cam both make it into the Elite Eight. Couple tight ones though. Bike Watch and Marcus are still going here. Programming note, come tomorrow. We've got a special guest, a Cedric Maxwell podcast. I'm going to play you guys a little clip of it. Oh, I lost your rod. I'm going to play you guys a little clip of it. I want you guys to go make sure that you are ready. Subscribe to the pod tonight and boop, you'll be notified when the thing goes live tomorrow. We'll have video of it. But here it is. Here's the special guest.
It's one of those banners, man.
Can you not see it?
I know that voice, though.
Listen.
Could you see it?
Could not see it.
I can
picture it in my head.
Why didn't it play?
We'll bleep this out. We'll bleep this whole thing out. Nobody will ever know it's screwed up. Let's start over. What do we got?
It's Ray Allen. Ray Allen with Max. For some reason, the video I was sent is not playing.
Oh, you had Ray? Ray was on it?
Ray Allen is on the Cedric Maxwell podcast tomorrow. I was going to tease it and play it for you guys. But
why don't you just try it one more time? We'll bleep this whole thing out.
It's one of those banners, man. I got to go with it.
Still not working.
Winning.
You heard Ray. That sounds like Ray. That's what it was.
That was Ray. But wait, yeah. What did he say on that clip?
He was talking about a ton of things. He's talking about the reunion with KG. He's also talking about Tatum and Brown and just how they're playing and, you know, a message for them. There's a lot of really good stuff on here. Max really gets guys to talk. Sorry the clip didn't play. I wanted you guys to see Ray's face there.
Yeah. What a bummer.
But it's good stuff. It's a good clip, and it's a good interview. So
you'll see it tomorrow.
See it tomorrow. Yeah. I wanted to play it. I'm sorry.
It'll be all over the place tomorrow because a lot of people want to hear from Ray and want to you know, like, he hasn't done really. I mean, he did a little interview with Scal after the KG ceremony, but this guy's been out of the picture for a long time, and he was, you know, as much as people don't want to admit it, he was extremely loved here in Boston, and I think it would be great. Again, I've said this before. It's very important to have former Celtics, especially Celtics greats, in the building, in the down the halls, you know, walking the halls and being a part of the culture and the history of this franchise. That's your selling point, is the history and all that stuff. And you're not gonna get people to come here on the weather or
by the way,
no taxes and things. You're gonna get them to come if they care about the history, the legacy, you know. Fans and the city that cares about their team. So you need guys like Ray around. You need to be all on the same page. So I'm so glad that, you know, the hatchet's kind of been buried. I hope that the fans can get over it and can move on because it's obvious that KG has. And I'm going to definitely be interested to watch that interview, listen to that tomorrow. So.
Yep. By the way, speaking of Ime and his approach and guys coming here, nice show of love for Donovan Mitchell. A big ensemble of Celtics really crowded around him at the end of the game. Conversation there. They're doing work on that front, I'd imagine.
That would be something. I don't know how they could get that done. Probably would involve – I'm not even getting into it. People are just going to get mad at me, so I'm not even going to get into it.
It's just due diligence.
I know what it would take, but I'm not going to get into it.
We'll get there one day.
Not going to do it. That's an off-season discussion.
Yes, not gonna do it. Anyway, a couple other things. Just want to tell you again. Let me say here. Join our.
We got a couple Discord. Days off here.
Join our Discord server, clsmedia.com/discord. That's the place you'll have to chat up until Sunday because that's the next game. Other than that, we might do a Twitter Spaces in the next couple of days. Just talk about where the Celtics are and their playoff chances. So follow us, Celtics CLNS, for notifications and updates on that. Other than that, I got nothing else, guys. Good game, good win. Bobby Manning bringing the Gabagool home.
Hey. Am I a joke to you, Bobby? Think I'm funny?
Discord.
There you go. Jimmy's got it, John.
Nick's out there friggin' already leaking this stuff to our Discord crowd, so they know about it. The clip is on Discord. You want to go check it out? Sign up for our Discord server. We're in the 800 and something range. We need to get to 1,000, guys. We should be there already.
Is on Discord, huh?
Yeah.
Look at that.
That's exclusive.
And you have to be invited. You have to be invited to the Discord by
you
that.
You got to be invited.
That link right there. You can't just check out Discord and then leave. You gotta be a part of the Discord.
clnsmedia.com/discord.
Okay, download the Discord app on your phone. I have the I have it on my phone. I have it on my laptop here too. Like the I guess it's an app right on your computer. But
by the way, clnsmedia.com. Amazing articles out now, and there's more coming the rest of the week.
Amazing Bobby Manning articles.
Bobby, what do you have cooking, dude?
The Brown Tatum one that came out was probably the one I'm most proud of this year. That came out really good. And you know, that's stuff we've been talking about all year, the passing between them, the numbers going way up on that front. Another thing, like the smart point guard discussion, it's like, oh, they've always passed to each other. You look at the numbers, that's not really true. It's been a massive improvement.
Yeah, Jimmy's good with that.
Played off each other.
There it is. There's the clips. Yeah, no, Bobby, that is good stuff. That's front page of the CLNS website right now, so go check it out for sure. And yeah, we talked about it, Bobby. This was something we observed on a whim, which is like, you know, we're just spitballing. Like, isn't it weird? These guys never seem to pass to one another. It's they're standing on opposite ends of the court, and they get the ball, and they just never work, and they never play off one another. And, you know, everyone's like, whatever, shut up, dudes, losers, negative. And then Ime, of course, was like, yes, I'm trying to get them to pass to each other more and play off one another more. It's really important. And everyone's like, oh, yeah, you know, hey. So again,
coach of the year.
Yeah, it was a thing. It was a concern. They weren't using one another.
They need to learn how to play with each other. That's what he said.
When they were both on the court, it was like only one was on the court because the other would be a non-factor on that possession. So when you knew that the other guy wouldn't touch the ball if one guy had it, then you don't have two stars. You've got one star, and that was hurting them. So they had to
They're doing some cool stuff now.
It's just math. Yeah.
And there's some more to come, I think. I think Sherrod teased that, like, you know, there's some probably some stuff that we haven't seen that these two are going to start to do come playoff time. So another credit to Ime if they are kind of holding some stuff back here between those two. Because, listen, they can do some really cool stuff between those two set-wise with Rob. I think we're going to see some amazing sets come playoff time. And there's already been a lot of great ones from that road trip. There's just tons of great clips of those guys playing off each other, so go check that out.
So go check it out. We're gonna say goodnight. Thanks on behalf of Jimmy, Bobby, Sherrod. Check out all of our stuff. We have a zillion things coming out on our YouTube channel, and in addition to that Ray Allen thing, nice. Couple great podcasts. Sherrod's pod is out, A-List with Gary Washburn. B-Rob's coming out with his winning plays. So lots of really good stuff out there. But again, the Ray Allen pod, that's a must listen. Subscribe to the Cedric Maxwell
podcast. He had a green shirt on.
Ray's doing his retired number tour right now. He knows what's going on. There's a lot of politicking going on here. but whatever. Good for that.
Hey, so, don't you think Ray Allen's a good enough player where his number should be retired somewhere in the NBA?
I mean, I think it should be retired three places in the NBA. So maybe even four.
Four. Why not? Yeah. Why not five? A couple of teams that could have had him.
He's friggin' dude. Ray Allen is a superstar. I'll give you retired in at least Milwaukee, Seattle, and Boston. Should be retired three places if it isn't.
That's our new banner here, though. Yep. Get up there.
Yeah,
that's true. I did notice that. They got to find some more space.
Yeah. All right, guys.
We just get rid of. I mean, there's got to be some number that they
can get rid of one. Unretire? Wow. Yes,
I would.
They can do a ceremony for that.
John has a whole list of numbers that probably unretire.
Anybody who played before 1970, just pick one.
Here we go. We're going to unretire.
Nick's head just popped off.
If you could only dribble with your right hand, you're out.
If you dribble with your hand behind your back like this,
and you had to dribble in a circle to go in the other direction, then you're off the team.
Imagine a jersey unretirement ceremony. That was just disrespectful.
Yeah, if you use the backboard, you're out. Sorry.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. Hey,
that's it.
Just creating some space. That's all that is.
All right. See you guys. Bye. Thanks, everybody. Awesome.